Guys, I'm Austin Mankin, and like Jess, I'm part of the Watermark Institute. And so the story of my faith really began at a young age. I remember driving back from school when I was 5 years old, and my mom played on the radio this song. I think we have it. Here we go.
Come on, I'm going to teach y'all a new song. You're going to love it. Here it goes. Bullfrogs and butterflies.
You can cut it.
We've both been born again. I'm singing about bullfrogs.
All right, that's enough of that. So that song is basically talking about how we've been reborn. And I was sitting there in the backseat, 94 Chevy van. And I asked my mom in the front seat, hey, mom, I want to have a new life in Christ. What does that look like? So in the backseat, I got down on my hands and knees, and I accepted Christ for the first time, obviously not knowing what the implications of that was. But by the mercy of God, he saved me early in my life. And my family was really the cornerstone to my spiritual formation. My parents didn't just teach me a message of grace. They created a culture of grace in my home. Because of the healthy model of love that was over me, it was easy for me to accept the love of a perfect and holy God. I saw God's character reflected through the behavior of my parents, and I knew from a young age that God was truly real. However, just because I was under a good home didn't mean I was immune to the sting of sin. When I was 9 years old, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. Fortunately, the ignorance of my adolescence protected me from my understanding of the true severity of that disease, and I'm grateful to say she was eventually healed. But during this time, I got to see God use a community of other Christians as a vehicle through which he would bless me. By God's grace, I had a consistent presence of faithful people in my life who showed up to walk me through a difficult season and give me just a clear picture of the unshakable peace of God. And so by having older mentors in my life, I learned that if I wanted to be faithful, I had to surround myself with faith-filled people. But I wasn't always faithful. As a kid, I lacked self-control. My actions were dictated by my emotions. And I would weaponize my emotions toward my parents. Whenever I didn't get my way, this behavior repeatedly led to punishment in my life. My poor self-control, bad mood, and was fueled by a wrong belief that my parents didn't have my best interest in mind. And so this feeling, this faulty perception of my parents translated into perception of God. I didn't yield to authority, and I remember thinking that God was disappointed and frustrated with me, that he simply was tolerating my sin, and I thought obedience was a sign of weakness, and so I was too arrogant to hand over control because my highest authority in my life was myself. This made me hesitant in my faith. I settled for a casual association with Jesus rather than an authentic relationship, wanting the benefits of God but not the sacrifice that came with it. I desired to appear externally righteous, but internally my soul was at a complacent state. This led to a half-hearted allegiance to him. Maintaining my reputation as a Christian became a source of pride in my life. I wanted to be known as the good kid. And I had a misguided belief that Jesus loved me based on my performance rather than my position as his son. And so I've heard it said like this: God has not hired employees. He's created sons and daughters. Sons and daughters don't have to labor to receive. They receive freely because their parents freely give to their children that they have. And so most of my teenage years were lived like I was an employee laboring instead of as a child receiving. So in high school, my life was heavily concentrated by sports. I quickly latched on to athletics as an outlet in my life. And sports really contributed to a lot of refining moments in my life, because athletic success demands purposeful self-discipline. However, it also brought me a lot of struggle, because sports are good and they're created to be enjoyed. But however, if we're not careful, a good thing can easily morph into that one thing. And I let that one thing, sports, become my source of value. Anxiety would enter into my life when that one thing was threatened. And if I wasn't performing to the standard I wanted to, I didn't receive the affirmation I thought I deserved. So the sports then would shift to refining me, to ultimately defining me. And the problem is, the only thing powerful enough to bear the burden of defining us is the cross. And I knew Jesus, but I kept overlooking what he had done by rendering sports as an idol rather than a gift. But fortunately in high school, God blessed me with older men in my life who didn't just preach the gospel to me, but lived it out in front of me. I had someone investing in me in every stage of life. People who modeled what a life surrendered toward Jesus looked like. And they showed me how to integrate Jesus into my everyday life. So I remember guys investing in me, like a man named Chad Kettler, who would shoot basketball hoops with me outside and would walk through the history of God's word. A man named David Attaway, who's my young life leader, who lovingly walked me through my immaturity. A guy named Corbin Pierce, who took me to IHOP every single week and opened up God's word and showed me who I was in Christ. My brother, who would challenge me to live a life marked by purity. And then ultimately, also my friend Baxter Robin, who stayed by my side senior year and encouraged me to remain faithful when all my friends fell victim to the party scene. Hebrews 13:7, we've quoted this a lot here, but remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider their outcome, their way of life, and imitate their faith. I truly began to live a life of worship when I saw Jesus reflected through the lives of those investing in me. They reminded me of the true nature of God, that he doesn't just tolerate me, but his favor is upon me. They showed me that sports make a great hobby, but a terrible God, because they make you perform for your identity, why God has already imparted his identity into our lives. And lastly, they showed me the true weight of my depravity and that I need Jesus every single day. And my story of God's grace is not laced with radical moments of rebellion, but I have realized that I don't have to have a crazy story for me to see how destructive sin is and how precious grace is. God used older mentors in my life as a trophy of his grace to direct me towards a path of obedience and a daily life of worship. And I pray you guys could do the same. Thank you.